University offers were out last week, and today universities in Sydney are in focus for enrolling large percentages of students whose tertiary admission scores, otherwise known as their ATARs, are sometimes well below the advertised cutoff for the course entry. At the same time, the University of Sydney has offered 68 undergraduate spots to some of the best Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander students in the nation. In the last 5 years, Indigenous enrolments at Sydney University have grown by 30%. The number of graduates from Sydney Uni has grown by 25%. But even with the increased enrolments, the top city-based universities, including the University of Sydney, are failing to enrol Indigenous students in the same kinds of numbers as the regional universities. I'm joined in the breakfast studio now by Shane Houston. Professor Shane Houston is Deputy Vice-Chancellor of Sydney University. He's also a Argungulu man from central Queensland and the most senior Aboriginal academic in this country. Shane Houston, welcome to RM Breakfast.
Grant, thanks very much.
I'm going to come to Indigenous enrolments at Sydney Uni in a moment, but there's reports in the Fairfax papers today that say that New South Wales universities are admitting students with ATARs as low as 30 points into some of the top degrees. 27% of the offers into your Sydney University are reportedly below ATAR cutoffs. What's going on? Is the university using students as a cash cow? You take anyone.
No, I don't think that's the case, Fran. The article in today's paper really doesn't distinguish between people who might be offered a place at the university with 2 or 3 points below the advertised cutoff and students that might be offered a place at university 20 or 30 points below the cutoff. That's the first thing. And I wouldn't like your listeners to think that all of a sudden everyone that comes out of university has been made an offer at an ATAR significantly below everyone else.
Some of them, though, are. According to this article anyway, it says some with ATARs in the 30s admitted to combined Bachelor of Secondary Education Arts. This is at Macquarie University, mm-hmm. not Sydney University. Yeah.
Some universities will provide an opportunity for students to demonstrate their potential for success at university in a number of ways. In some places, we will, like at Sydney, we have alternative entry programs, which will provide an opportunity for students from low socioeconomic communities, regional, remote communities, to come and demonstrate that they have the potential to succeed at university. And potential really should be thought of as part of that, in that mix of merit. And what we do is we allow them to come in and show, for example, that in addition to having completed high school, they possess a number of other qualities that will stand them in good stead during their university career.
And that's as it should be. I mean, absolutely. Marks aren't everything. But are you saying that in the context of this article, that every person that Sydney Uni admits who's sort of significantly below the ATAR cutoff point has been interviewed?
What we're saying is that everyone that has been made an offer at the University of Sydney has been through a similar selection process, so that using the normal processes of the university where students go to UAC, they complete their application, they come to the University of Sydney, there is a conversation between the deans of the various faculties and the people in our admissions area, and they make a judgment about the relative potential of each student to pass their course. Some of them are very clear, they'll get very high ATARs, and people will go, we think there is enough of an indicator here for these students to be made an offer. There could be other students who haven't got quite the ATAR that others have, and the admissions group will have a closer look at those students.
Let's get to Indigenous enrolments now. This is a good news story at your university because the figures that Sydney Uni is putting out suggest that Indigenous enrolments have increased by 30% over the past 5 years.
That's right.
How have you done that?
A couple of different ways, Fran. I think the first, you've got to really think about the question of Aboriginal higher education in three chunks. There's all of that work that needs to be thought about outside of the university. Kids in high school, their performance in high school, their levels of aspiration. You know, we still face a major problem in Australia where we've seen large numbers, or large increases in the number of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people completing an HSC. But what's a bit of a worry is that there is only a small proportion of those students that finish an HSC actually get an ATAR. And without an ATAR, those students can't enrol at university. So there is work that's required outside of the university, in high schools, to lift the educational attainment and the level of aspiration of young Aboriginal kids to come to university. That's the first chunk of work. There is then a second chunk of work, which we've been talking about just now, about how you get them into the university. Mm. And that is about thinking about alternative pathways, those sorts of things. What are the other indicators of likely success at university that we can take into account and that we should take into account when we're making an offer to a student? And the third chunk of work that we really have to think about is what happens for those students when they're in university. And at Sydney, we've tried to look at each of those three elements together and invest time and effort and resources in contributing to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander success in each of those three areas.
And it suggests it's paying off, though if you look at it in comparison to the regional universities, and I suppose it's not surprising that regional universities would have higher Indigenous enrolments because that's where many Indigenous people are living out in the regions, but Sydney Uni could be doing a lot more. University of Newcastle, 634 students enrolled, Uni of Sydney, 269. You could be doing a lot more of the heavy lifting.
I think if you look at what's happened at Sydney over the last couple of years, the figures that you've just quoted take us from 2011 to 2014, a relatively short period of time, and we've seen great results. What we've been able to show is that if we give Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people an opportunity to think about university in direct in a way that really starts to connect their ambitions, their passions with their career opportunities, we can actually start to attract more students to our institution. Now, you're asked the hard question about why wouldn't we do more? Why wouldn't we get more? And part of that problem goes to the issue of high school graduations that I mentioned before. There were only, the last numbers I saw, there were only 108 Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander students in New South Wales that got more than 75 on their ATARs.
Yeah, and Sydney University seems to be cherry-picking some of the smartest. You've got a couple of students, Indigenous students, with an ATAR of over 99 and eight with over 95. I mean, that's congratulations to them. They're obviously great students. One other element that I've heard about, the problem that with Sydney Uni, Melbourne Uni, wherever it is, with Indigenous kids coming, is that they're giving the tutorial support, but they're not giving support with accommodation. And these are big costs. Could you do more on that front?
Oh, look, the last year, the university spent about $770,000 on scholarship support for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander students. This year, we've increased that by about a further 10%. The university's opened up the Queen Mary Building and provided low-cost accommodation in that facility for students, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander students and other students. Part of the challenge we face is that Sydney is a very expensive city, and what we do need to do is find more of the scholarships that help meet the costs, particularly of accommodation. But I don't know that it's fair to say that we haven't done a lot of work. Could we do more? Absolutely. I think that's a fair comment for every university.
And bottom line is the figures are going the right way, and that is good news. Shane Houston, thanks so much for joining us.
Fran, thanks very much.
Professor Shane Houston is the Deputy Vice-Chancellor of Sydney University.